The table of the Lord is set before us. It is the Lord Himself who invites you, come. Come as you are to the table. Let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you.
Greetings to you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. We come to celebrate his gift and his sacrifice today as the table is set. In a moment later in the service, we encourage and invite all people to receive the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. A few reminders this morning as we gather. We want to make sure you are aware of the fish fry coming up this Friday at 5:30. We hope that you plan to be there. If you have not done so already, I encourage you to RSVP out in the lobby after the service. There's a table with a sign-up sheet. You can also contact the church office. We want you to do that as soon as possible so we know how many people to prepare for. We also have sign-up sheets if you'd like to bring a side dish. There are three categories there, I think. And we encourage you to sign up for that as well so we know how much we'll have. It's going to be a great time together. No agenda, no program. We might have some games available. We might have some pictures to celebrate our life together. But, you know, the real star of the show is fish fry. So we want to encourage you to be a part of that. There are many national holidays that our country observes throughout the year. Armed Forces Day focuses on those men and women who are serving their country at the moment. Veterans Day acknowledges those who have served their country and have retired from the military service. But tomorrow is perhaps the most significant of them all, Memorial Day. It's not a celebration. It is a vigil, a moment to mourn those who have made the ultimate sacrifice, giving their lives for the sake of ours. I want to invite you to honor those who have served our country and gave their lives with just a moment of silence with me. Would you bow? For the lives they gave, we give you thanks, Almighty. Amen.
Our opening scripture this morning is from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. This is what Isaiah said of Amos, what of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore.
Would you pray with me this morning? Father, I was overjoyed when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." In faith, we gather here to worship you, O God, this morning. This is where you teach us your ways, that we may walk in your paths. This is where we hear and act upon your word of peace and justice, so that instruments of war are transformed into tools of production. And nations shall not lift up arms against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. As we gather in this place this Memorial Day weekend, we remember those that have sacrificed their lives protecting the freedoms that we so cherish. We remember the families who have lost loved ones in the service of our country. We also remember your call for peace, and we strive as a church to spread this message of love and peace across the four corners of this world. Just as your Son, Jesus Christ, the light of the world taught us. As we hear and obey this morning, we shall surely follow his light. We lift this prayer in his name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you would, join us in singing our hymn of praise, hymn number 36, Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. Please stand, if able. Y'all gonna enjoy your extra day off of school tomorrow? Yes, yes, yes. Are you looking forward to celebrating the holiday tomorrow? Yes. Do you know what the holiday is? Memorial Day. All right, so we at least got one over here. Both of you said yes, but you know what Memorial Day is. Do you know what Memorial Day is? Pastor Mason may have just given you a hint just a few minutes ago. What do we celebrate Memorial Day for? The people who died to help our country. You're right. Those are the military individuals, men and women, who have died serving and protecting the freedoms that we have. Unfortunately, we live in a world where there's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of war. And one of the things that God has taught us and has written in His Word is He desires for us to have peace. He desires for us to live together. And this morning, I wanted to talk a little bit about peace. What does that word peace mean? Does anybody know? What does peace mean? God bless you. What does peace mean? Ooh, I stumped them this morning. No war. Well, that's part of it. You're right. What else does peace mean? Calm. No war. Calm. Any other ideas? What does it mean that Jesus was called the Prince of Peace? Did you know that was one of the names they gave him? Why was that? Do you know? No. Because he didn't fight back. You're right. He didn't fight back. And he hoped to usher in a world of love and forgiveness and compassion. And sometimes I think we throw this word peace around a little too much, and we don't really think about what it means. So this morning, I'm going to teach you three ways to say peace, okay? You got the first one. You got this one, right? You know how to say peace. You know how to read that word. What is that word? Shalom. Have you ever heard that word said before? Do you know what that word means? That word means peace. It's the Hebrew word for peace. Back in Jesus' time, that's one of the languages that was spoken. There was many languages spoken, but Hebrew is what the Old Testament was written in. And shalom was the word that people would be used to say peace. So when Jesus talked about peace, he may have used the word shalom like we use peace today. But I'm going to teach you another way to say peace this morning because I really want you to think about what it is. So we've got peace and shalom, and I want to teach you how to say it in sign language. Have you ever done sign language before? One or two words? Do you know how to say peace in sign language right now? Nope? All right, well, this is kind of easy, all right? So I want you to put your hands together to start like this. Put your hands just like that. Clasp them together, okay? All right, start there. Hold it up. You got to hold it up. You have to do something with it, all right? So you start here, and then you switch it around. See that? Switch it around. You got that part way. So you start here, switch it around, and then the last thing you do is this. Start here, switch it around, this. All right, so on three, we're going to go together. One, two, three. Think about what we just did. We want peace. We want to pray to God. We want to focus on Him. Things might not be going our way. And we focus like this. When we turn it over to God, guess what? Things go smooth. They go easy. So as we celebrate Memorial Day today, I want you to remember that peace can be spoken in many different languages, shalom. It can be shown in many different ways, but we have to carry it out and live it out in our lives. That's the hope, not just for us, but for everyone. Let's pray this morning, asking God for peace. Father God, I'm thankful this day that we can sit here, and we have the freedom to worship here, and I'm thankful for those men and women who have served our country and those that have died in serving our country. And Father, we just ask that in this world of upheaval and unrest and war, that we can find peace, that we can share peace, and that we can show peace to everyone that we encounter. Father God, we just ask that this world step up and lift the love that you have shown us and to spread that love everywhere. And when that happens, peace will reign forevermore. In the Lord's name.
Will you bow your heads and pray, please? As we remember all the sacrifices that have been made for us, help us to also see what you've given us and help us to generously and joyfully share it for your glory. Our little can become much through your name. Amen.
Matthew 26, beginning in verse 47, tells the story of Jesus' arrest. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you are here to do." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen this way?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we pause now in silence that we each might make confession as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. Lord, we confess that often we too desert you. We desert you when we don't like what you're saying or what you're doing or what you're calling us to become. We desert you when we forget your commandments and all that your Son Christ taught us. We desert you when we pay more attention to our own fears and longings for security than we do to the gospel and the weight it places on our shoulders. We desert you when we do not take up our cross and follow Jesus. God, we confess and celebrate today in this cup and this bread that your Son paid the price for that desertion. and that your forgiveness is solid and firm and forever, and that we need not live as we once lived, nor should we live with shame anymore, but as free people, claiming the gospel promise that anyone who is free in Christ is free indeed. We praise you for that. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
friend of mine told me the story about going to his buddy's farm. And his buddy had these two mules holed up together in the same stall. And they were eating oats, just chomping away. And one of them was a little more enthusiastic, a little fatter than the other. And he had eaten up all the oats that were gone. And so he looks over in the other mule's stall there in his trough, and he can see he's still got plenty. So he just helps himself. He just nuzzles right in there and takes a big, giant chomp of oats and starts going away at it, just eating it as fast as he can. Now, the other mule, he didn't say nothing. He just calmly turned around, backed up so that his behind parts were facing the other mule, and wham, gave him a swift kick in the stomach. Then turned around and finished eating his oats. And the other mule, he didn't say anything either. He just backed up, kind of nodded his head, and walked off. And I thought to myself, now folks, there's justice. Good old-fashioned mule justice. And I thought about that commandment that's given to us in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and a swift kick for a bite of oats, right? That's really the spirit of that Old Testament law, that God is saying, let justice be proportionate to the crime. That's just at the heart of what justice is. It's a way of keeping people from overdoing it, but also saying, if someone hurts you, hurt them back in the same way. If someone takes from you, take back from them at the same measure. But then along comes Jesus, and he just messes everything up and throws a giant question mark over this great commandment about eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 5. In verse 38, he says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give him your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you." Jesus, his claims are very, very strange when they're held up against the law of God, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. He said, you heard that, but let me break this down for you in a more human level. I mean, this first one, if anyone strikes you across the right cheek, what's brilliant about that is to strike someone across the right cheek means a backhanded slap. It's a dismissal, disrespective slap. It puts them beneath you. Jesus says, if they do that, then turn the other side. And what do you have to do then? Then you better slap me like a man. Jesus is tough. He's saying, if you're going to hit me, hit me. Hit me like a man. But he's also saying to us, yes, don't hit back. Make them elevate you in this completely nonviolent way. That's amazing. Make them put you on their level without even lifting a finger. Then Jesus takes us into the courtroom. Now all of a sudden we're being sued, and the person wants our inner garment. He wants to take it from us. And he says, you know what? If they sue you and if they win, then give them also your outer cloak. You're standing now naked before the court. Jesus is saying, if you wrong someone, if you owe them, pay them, and pay them even double. Don't fight with them. Don't argue with them. Just give them. Then this strange analogy about if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go also a second mile. What are you talking about, Jesus? To the readers and to the listeners of Jesus in his time, they would have known exactly what he was talking about. It was the practice and the right of every Roman soldier hiking through your countryside with his big heavy backpack full of instruments of war and survival, that when he became tired, he could say, hey, you, take my pack for a mile. That was the legal limit, 1 mile. Jesus says, if they do that, you know what? Go ahead and say, I'll take it 2 miles. I think there's a lot behind that. There's a lot going on. One, what a shame. What a way of shaming someone. You're showing that you're tough. You're strong. But you're also thinking about that poor, tired soul at the end of that mile who's going to have to take that pack for the Roman soldier for another mile. And you're saying, you know what? I'll take my mile and I'll take that guy's mile as well. It's about service, sacrifice, surrender, giving, respect. It's about having power without exerting powerful acts. It's about love. And I think that if any disciple is a serious disciple, they're going to have some problems with Jesus. This is the type of scripture passage that if we take it seriously, if we're serious about following Jesus' teaching, this should keep us up at night trying to think things through. This should be one of those where when we're driving down the interstate, we mull over this, trying to figure out how this fits into our worldview. How this fits into our understanding of politics and how this fits into our understanding of day-to-day interactions with other people who 9 times out of 10 are pretty terrible people. What do I do about that woman that cut me off in the line at Walmart? What do I say to her? What do I say to that person who's trying to get in front of me? And then you can take it from there and get bigger and bigger and more complicated and complex situations. And the true disciple is left really scratching their head, probably a little too hard until it hurts. Because if we don't, there's a problem with our discipleship. It means one of three things is happening. Either one, we disagree with Jesus. We think he's wrong. He shouldn't have said that. He didn't know what he was talking about. He didn't understand the realities of life. He didn't understand what it's like. Or we're saying, we don't think Jesus ever said that. That must have been inserted somewhere by some other scribe, somewhere down the line. Jesus never said that. Or the third option is, we just don't really take him that seriously. We don't really care that he said it. I imagine that most of us in this room don't fall into those first two categories of either disagreeing with Jesus or thinking that this is made up about Jesus. If you are, that's a whole other discussion. But what I'm really concerned about is those majority of us who believe Jesus said this, believe that Jesus is the full revelation of God Almighty and supposed to show us what God wants and who God is, and yet we just don't really take it that seriously. It doesn't concern us too much. Maybe if we're really honest, we'd say, I don't really care because this doesn't fit into my world view. This doesn't really gel with the way I see the world today. And then we have to ask ourselves, if that's the case, am I really a disciple? Jesus is saying to us, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. Jesus is saying, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Jesus is saying that he is the Prince of Peace. And if anybody thinks Jesus, well, it's just a pushover to let those people do this to him, I would challenge you that Jesus is tougher than any of us. And Jesus knows what sacrifice is. And Jesus knows what pain is. And Jesus knows what it means to suffer. And yet in the face of all of that, he says, peace. Peace. I preached a sermon one time at a small country church. And I happened to make the mistake in a small country church on 4th of July weekend to preach about peace. And I was told after the service that I was un-American and unpatriotic. And then I tried to help them think backwards from that claim. What are you really saying then? You're saying that to be American means to celebrate and love war. It means to elevate violence. Well, that's not what I mean, preacher. But they've showed their hand. Jesus is not necessarily saying we're to be pushovers. But he is saying we're to be people who are led more by love and less by we want justice. And we want what we got coming to us. And we want what's right. And we want to make them, whoever them is, we always want to make some mythical them pay and be held accountable. Someone once asked me, what does Memorial Day mean to me? And the best way for me to explain it is through an experience I had. There's a slide that I'll ask y'all put up. And aren't we cute? In our little uniforms. This is Big Daddy Mason up here with Little Wilson and an even littler Wesley at Normandy. This is at the beaches of Normandy. And we were just so blessed to be in Europe during the 70th anniversary of the D-Day landing there in Normandy. And this is at the cemetery. And we were there to be, for the Boy Scouts of America, ambassadors of peace. To be there to hear about the history, to experience it. And what struck me when I was there really changed a lot about the way I view the world. Because this is just, you see this sea of crosses. And you know that every cross represents a human life that was lost. And this is just one fraction of one section of a very small military cemetery. It kind of puts it into perspective, doesn't it? There, we were not there to celebrate war or to celebrate our victories, but to long for and plan for peace. In the next slide, there at the local cathedral in Normandy, just outside of the beaches, there was this service at the cathedral to commemorate the peace bell. We were there for the very first unveiling of this bell. And there what you see in the picture is scouts from all over the world, from Russia, from China even, people from Australia, lots of people from throughout Europe, lots of Americans are there. And the service had prayers in all many languages, every tribe, nation, and tongue, you might say, if you want to make it sound biblical. And all praying for the same thing, peace. At the end of the service, there's the next slide, the peace bell is revealed in there it is behind Wesley. It shows a map of Normandy and the beaches where Juneau and Sword and Omaha, all those beaches were, and where the troops were moving in and how many people were lost at each one of those sites. And so for me, it occurred to me that this is really what it's about. That maybe a hope for peace is lost on my generation and yours, but those kids there, I mean, you almost cry if you start thinking about it. There's the hope for peace. That Jesus didn't come saying that there is no such thing as just war or some just cause for some measure of violence. But he came to say that for the disciple and for the kingdom, the ultimate hope is for peace. Why would it be anything else? And why would there be anything wrong with longing for a little peace? Jesus came and taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And folks, I got to tell you, there's no fighting in heaven. This is not the peace sign. That cross up there is the peace sign. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, we give you thanks for Jesus the Christ. Toughest man in the history of the world, and for the sacrifice he made to teach us what peace is like and how much it might just cost. We give you thanks, Lord, for these symbols of his life, bread and the cup, that remind us his life was broken, his blood was shed for us. Not just to forgive us and make us happy and give us a wonderful place to live forever and ever, because he chose and sought to change our lives, to change our perspective, to change our minds. May his peace surround us and enfold us and give us hope for a future when one day they really shall beat their swords into plowshares. And one day there really will be, in fact, what the angels proclaimed at his birth: peace on earth, goodwill to all people. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus took bread on the night that he was to be arrested, and he broke it and he divided it amongst his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat." In the same way, he took the cup and blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my own blood. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." Brothers and sisters, we invite you to receive the body and blood of Christ, and may it deepen your faith and give you a deeper hope as well. I want to invite our deacons to come forward. And as you receive the bread, if you would hold it until we are all able to eat together, and likewise with the cup. Take and eat. remembrance of Christ. And all God's people said, amen. As we continue to worship, we think about how to respond together to this table and to the words of Christ. And so we sing our hymn of response, "In Christ there is no east or west." Would you stand together if you are able as we respond? It just goes to show you that even in pursuit of something as noble as peace, things don't always go well. Would you receive this benediction as we close and remain standing for our choral response? May the perfect and precious peace of Christ surround you in your life, giving you calm and hope and purpose, filling your life with love and direction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.